We're on week two at the moment of a seven-week program that we've called Hungry for God. And our aim is to become hungrier over these 7 weeks. You should, when you came in today, have been given a sheet of paper that explores this week's theme. If you didn't get last week's, please make sure you get it. Now, the idea is that this will help you in the service this morning. It's also there for house groups. And can I really encourage everybody that if you're going to get the best out of what we're doing over these 7 weeks, you will get that if you are part of a group of people who are exploring it with you. So I do want to encourage everybody, this does matter. If you're not in a house group and it's not a good time for you, please do feel free to just find one or two other people and say, let's get together and let's form our own group and let's meet and work through what we're learning over these few weeks. Also, the idea behind this is that the exercises that are on the back are there for your daily use. And if you've been doing that during this last week, well done. That's great. I hope you're beginning to see the benefit of it. But don't put yourself under pressure for that. Just keep going with what we're seeking to do. So this isn't meant to be something that completely changes the time you spend doing everything every day. But what I'm encouraging you to do is to find time each day to do what's suggested here. If you don't finish it every day, that's absolutely fine. But the idea is that we really do encounter these psalms that we're studying. And in encountering the psalms, that we get drawn closer to God as we do it. So thank you to everybody who's been encouraging me over this during this last week. Today we move on from Psalm 62 with our theme of resting in God to Psalm 42 with a theme of longing for God. Our aim this week in what we are doing together is to increase our longing for God. Now, I've discovered something about myself recently which kind of took me by surprise. Because when I was a child, we would often come down, used to live in Scotland, we would often come down to Blackpool during the October half term to sort of spend a week there so we could see the lights. And I must have gone there at least five or six times, I would think, over the years. So I really love going to see the lights. And when we moved up here, having been down south, one or two people were saying, oh, you know, you can go and see the lights in Blackpool. So I thought, that's great. Yeah, let's go and do that. So we went and did it, and we were walking up the lights, and I was saying, oh, that wasn't there. Oh, there used to be something there. It's not there anymore. And reminiscing and driving Ruth absolutely crazy by doing this. And then we got to Blackpool Tower. And when we got to Blackpool Tower, a thought came into my head, which was, all these times that we visited Blackpool when I was a kid, we never went up the Blackpool Tower. And I started to think, why was that? I mean, some people have suggested, well, were your parents or you afraid of heights? No, we went up lots of towers, so it's not that. Were they short of money? I can't believe they were short of money every time we went. I mean, I can remember doing other things that cost money in Blackpool. So I don't think it was down to shortage of money. But in all the visits, we never went up the top. And, well, I'm not going to find out this side of glory because nobody's around to tell me why we never went up the tower. I really don't know. But my poor wife has now heard me talk about Blackpool Tower so many times that event... Louise is going and me. Louise and Ruth, oh, everybody who loves me, has heard me so often going on about this tower that eventually Ruth in exasperation said to me, James, let's just go up the tower because you're never going to get it out of your system until you've been up there. Every time we go to Blackpool, you're going to be telling me this story and I don't want to hear it again. Let's just go up the tower. Now, the strange thing about this story is that probably from when I was 12 to when I was about 53, 54, it never occurred to me that I had an inbuilt desire in my heart to go up the Blackpool Tower. I spent over 40 years, and as far as I can remember, I never consciously went, let's go to Blackpool so I could go up the tower. I mean, we went to Blackpool when our kids were younger for a day. We went to Pleasure Beach. Never thought of going up the tower. But it was like, once this thing had resurfaced of why didn't we go up the Blackpool Tower, I wouldn't say I couldn't get it out of my head, because I do think about other things, but it just comes back again and again and again. It's like there was this inbuilt longing in me that had kind of been put into a cupboard for over 40 years. And once it came out, I realized that that longing was there. When I do it, I will let you know how it goes. But I mean, somebody else. We had a family from Brentwood, where we used to live. They came up. They spent a few days with us. And we took them on the ferry across the Mersey, you know, in Liverpool. And Carol said to me, she said, I've just knocked one thing off my bucket list. She said the thing was, I didn't even know it was on my bucket list until today. But now I've done it, I now realized it's the one thing, or one of the, not the one thing, but one of the things that I wanted to do. Psalm 42 is about longing. My soul longs for you, O God. It's a psalm that is jam-packed with emotion. It's not a psalm of somebody sitting placidly and having nice, serene thoughts about God. It's a psalm with the emotions flying about all over the place. Lord, I'm longing for you. Lord, I've been crying day and night. Why can't I meet with you? When am I going to meet with you? I'm sad. I'm downcast. I'm depressed. And Lord, the only thing that's going to solve this is if I meet with you again. And Lord, what makes it worse is that I used to meet with you a lot. I used to be part of this group of people, and we used to gather together, and we used to praise you together, and it was wonderful, and I really knew your presence there. Doesn't quite say, Lord, I was really filled with the Spirit then, but today, as a Christian, that's what you would have said. He's, Lord, I'm desperate for you, Lord. I want to know you. Now, that thought got me thinking about being thirsty. As the deer longs for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, O God. Thirst is a funny thing. Many years ago now, when my children were much, much, much younger than they are today, we took them to Disneyland Paris. There's a common theme in my illustrations this morning, isn't there? We took them to Disneyland Paris, and at Disneyland, well, being the sort of person that I am, I plan these things. You know, going to a theme park is a big organizational job. If you don't do it, you'll spend the whole day in queues. You've got to know where to go first. So I bought this unofficial guidebook to Disneyland Paris, and for weeks, it was my mission to study this book so that I was well prepared before we went. And I would say it paid a lot of dividends. But one of the bits of advice in that book was one that I seriously didn't expect. And the advice that was given was something like this. It says, if you look around in Disneyland Paris, there will be many families with kids who are behaving badly. And, you know, there will be these really exasperated parents there. And the parents will be saying something like this. They will be saying, you moaned to come here. You nagged us into booking this holiday. For weeks, you've been counting down the days, and it's so excited. And now you are here, you're behaving like this. Why are you behaving so badly? And this book gave one of the best bits of parenting advice that I have ever received. If your children start behaving like that, anyone know what the advice was? Sorry? Close. Give them a drink. They said, there are so many families whose experience of Disneyland Paris is wrecked because parents didn't suss that their children were thirsty. And the children were too excited to know. And I was thinking about that, and then I heard somebody, in something I heard on the radio recently, saying that human beings are very poor at knowing when they are thirsty. I'm seeing one or two nods here. Yeah? When people are thirsty, but they think they're tired. People are thirsty, but they think they are hungry. People are thirsty, but they think they are stressed. Now, of course, being tired and hungry and stressed are real things, and if they're the issue, they need to be dealt with. But sometimes the real issue is thirst. One of the things I have learned, you know, there are all these rules about driving, you know, don't drink and drive, don't use your mobile phone, there's no doubt loads of others. I have my own personal one. Do not drive thirsty. Because I know that when I am thirsty, my reaction time slows down considerably. So we human beings are not that good at knowing when we are thirsty. Sometimes we are not very good at knowing when we are thirsty for God. Sometimes what our heart is really longing for is an encounter with God. Sometimes what our heart really wants is that God should reveal himself to us in a new way. Sometimes we have this heartache within us, those of us who've been Christians a while, because at one point we rejoiced in God, we were happy in God, we were glad in God, but the intensity of our longing seems to have dropped, and we need God to do something about it. Now, that's what we're about this week. We're about recognizing our thirst for God. When I talk about increasing our longing for God, actually, we do long for God in the same way that those children at Disneyland Paris longed for water but didn't know it. What we're doing this week is we're drawing that longing to the center. And we're recognizing that deep within us, there is this desire. By the way, if you're visiting us, this does not mean it's falling down. It does this all the time. I thought I saw a worried look there. It doesn't mean it's falling down. It's to do with the roof. Sorry, I completely lost my train of thought there. We want to recognize inside us this longing. Just as I had this longing to go up Blackpool Tower that I didn't really know about, and my friend had this longing to do the ferry across the Mersey that she didn't really know about, but it was there. So we want to really recognize our longing for God and do something about it. Now, the psalmist doesn't have any such problem at all, of course. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, O God. Now, if that's where you are at today, and you are coming to this psalm, you might think, I don't recognize the psalmist at the moment. I don't recognize sort of the way the psalmist is, the mood that he's in. You might be saying, well, at the moment, I know I long for God. I love God. I'm in God's presence. I praise him every day, and it's great. I would still recommend that you study Psalm 42 this week, because how you feel now is not how you are always going to feel. This psalm is in there for a reason. So really, however you come, let's have a look at it. When we talk about a longing for God, we're not saying a longing for God that means God is distant from us, he's not there, because God is there. God is always close to us. If the psalmist was saying, look, I really long for God, I really want God, I want to meet with him, I could imagine some well-meaning Christian coming up to him and saying, you know, patting him on the shoulder and saying, look, it's all right. God really is there. Which sometimes is the message we do need to hear. It's okay, God is there. He's around us. You might not be sensing it at the moment, but he is there. If you'd said this to the man who wrote Psalm 42, his reply, I think, would be very blunt. He would say, I know God's there. That's why I'm talking to him. I was going to say, you silly man, don't be rude, James. But that's why I'm talking to him. He is there. I know he's hearing me. I know he's listening. I know I can still pray to him. But I want to meet with him. I want to encounter him. I want this thirst that I have that's pouring out of me to be quenched. And one of the things I hope that looking at Psalm 42 this week, we'll look at it what will help us with as we look at it in house groups and as we look at it day to day studying it, is it will actually up our expectation of what God can do for us. It may be that in a week's time, you are going to come to church far less satisfied than you are today. And I'll go, great, that's fantastic. Because you're learning what it means to long for God. You're learning what it means that you're not satisfied with something that is second rate. So God is there. And our aim this week is to increase our longing. Now, one of the barriers sometimes, I said a little bit about this last week in Psalm 62, but I'm going to say it again today. One of the barriers that we face when we come to long for God is that some of us have got from somewhere the idea that if you are a Christian, you ought to be happy all the time. You know, and you think, well, I'll sort things out first and then I will come to God. Can I say this is a monumental mistake? You need to see what the writer, one person nodding their head furiously, good. You need to see that you come to God exactly as you are. I think it is wonderful that this psalm was written by somebody who says, I'm crying day and night. I'm filling up my bucket with tears. I can't stop crying. Life is really tough. Life is really difficult. And sometimes we wrongly think that in those times we can't pray. No, these are the times that we need to pray. Our prayers might just be gasps. Our prayers might be short. They might be choked. But these are the times when God is at work in us to draw us close to himself. God does not just reveal himself to us in the happy times, but in the darker times, he gives us, if we will let him, this longing for him that nothing less than God will satisfy. And let's be honest in our praying. I said on Thursday at the church meeting on Thursday, in that context, I say it again in terms of prayer here. Don't pray the prayers you think you ought to pray. Pray the honest ones. If the person who had written Psalm 42 had written the prayer he thought he should pray, he probably would never have written Psalm 42. The real prayer that's coming out of your heart, your real thoughts, and the exercises this week, I hope, will help you to express those to God. These exercises are there to pray the honest prayer, because it's only the honest prayer that God can answer. So let's say that I'd spent last night all in tears. I mean, I didn't, but it happens. You know, let's say I spent all in tears. And I come to church this morning, or I come to pray to God. That's what I talk to God about. That's my starting point. I don't have another one. We also, in this psalm, are learning not just how to talk to God, but we're learning how to talk to ourselves, which is a bit strange, but we'll get into that in a minute. Right, let's try doing something. Could you get your sheets out, please? And have a look at the squirrel. Do you know, I so want to replace that now with a picture of Theo this morning. The exact copy with Theo with these Maltesers and his gran holding them up too high for him to reach. And he's stretching and he wants those Maltesers. Let's say, where it says number one, right, what we're going to do is we're going to say these verses together a couple of times. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with my God? Let's say it again. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with my God? Right, now, In the silence, we're not going to do this open prayer today. You can work out what you want to do in your house groups. Number two, just pray your own prayer to God, however it comes out today, telling God that you long to know him. And if you need to, ask him to increase your longing. So let's just take a few moments silent and allow you to pray that prayer, whatever you want to say to God today. Okay, now, if you're doing this on your own or in your group, you can take as long as you like over that. And again, if that's as far as you get on any day you try it at home, that's fine. As we said last week, we won't learn to rest in God by rushing. We have to take it slowly. So, but for the sake of trying it this morning, we'll move on. Verse 3 in my translation that I've got here says, "My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" So in the next bit of silence, tell God about anything that worries you, distresses you, or causes you concern. So we'll be quiet for a moment. Offer that thought to God now. And then verse 4 says, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng." My Blackpool illustration wasn't just a fun little story. It was a story about a desire in me that I barely knew I had. And remembering can often be the key to unlocking the desires of our hearts. So talk to God for a few moments about things you remember. If there was a time in your life that you felt close to God or God answered your prayers, just think those thoughts before God. Remember them before God now. What were they like? And I would suggest what it says at the top of the page, that it is a good idea to have a notebook or something beside you when you do this, because maybe a memory that came back now is actually quite significant. Now, verse 5 is different. "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." Right, this next bit is not you talking to God. It's you talking to yourself. Now, sometimes we do that, don't we? Say, "Come on, pull yourself together," or "Come on, get on with it." That's what we're doing in a context of prayer here. So what you might want to do, if you are feeling sad today, is actually use the words from verse 5 and make them your own. It may be that what you need to say to yourself is different today. This might seem strange at first. If it doesn't work first time, just practice it and see what happens. But what are you saying to yourself today? You're thinking that thought deliberately before God. So what do you want to say to God? What's the thing you need to do? And then verses 6 to 8, I've put especially read verse 8 several times, so I'll read that verse to you now a few times. And I've put, "Ask God to make it true for you," but see what prayer it inspires in you. From the translation on the page, "By day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Let's be still and ask God to make that true for us. And then in verses 9 and 10, the psalmist prays to God. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? That's pretty strong stuff. But offer your prayer to God today. And can I just stress on this bit again, as in Psalm 62 last week, short prayers that come out of what you've just been doing. Don't spoil the resting by praying too much at this point. But what is your prayer to God today? And then, finally, for this exercise, in verse 11, the psalm repeats exactly what's been said in verse 5. Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. There's no quick fix in this psalm. At the end of it, the psalmist is pretty much in the same place that he was at the beginning. And as you do these exercises this week, you may feel exactly the same. But that doesn't mean that nothing's happened. Don't come to this psalm expecting the quick fix. It won't work. It's not offering one. But once more, the person who writes this is talking to himself. What is the thing, from all we've done in the last few minutes, what is the thing that you want to say to yourself now? What's the instruction that you want to give yourself? For the psalmist, it was, well, why are you so down? You know, trying to argue himself out of his sadness. Not that yet he has succeeded. Yeah? Again, don't fall for this lie that to be a Christian, you've got to be happy all the time. He's written his psalm. He's offered it to us. He's still sad. It's still really difficult. So don't fall for that one. So he's still talking to himself. And he instructs himself, put your hope in God. So what's the instruction that you want to give to yourself today? Well, give you a minute or two on that one and try and come up with something. What do I say to myself now? Okay, so if you've got somewhere, note it in some way. If you haven't got a bit of paper, remember it and then write it down later or tap it in your phone or something if you remember something, so you'll remember something. I think to get the value out of that exercise, I mean, yeah, those of us who are contemplative types will probably look at these things and say, well, I could spend half an hour on every one of them. Well, we haven't got 4 hours every day. But can I encourage you to spend some time every day, even if it's just a few minutes, working it through? And as I've put on the front page, resist the temptation to measure how you are doing. Okay? If you were to say to the author of Psalm 42, how much difference has that made? His first answer might have been none. Because he still felt the same at the end as he did at the beginning. But he hoped. He disciplined himself to hope in God. So the thing is to know what's going on and just to see what God is teaching you over these 7 weeks. But we want to learn to long for God. We're going to do some sung worship now. And all the songs that we're going to use one way or another are around desire for God, knowing God. Don't allow yourself to be too easily satisfied. And the first one that we're going to sing is to be in your presence, to sit at your feet where your love surrounds me and makes me complete. This is my desire. Now, you may right be there today. You may be saying, yep, that's me. That's the song I want to sing. If it's not you today, try and enter into the song. Just try and sit before God and let God speak those words to you. Because remember, human beings are not very good at knowing when they're thirsty. And sometimes we think we know what the problem is when thirst and thirst for God is the real issue.